Thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word brings light. And let this light shine in our hearts. Even this morning, the entrance of your word also gives understanding. We pray, Lord, that this understanding will come in our hearts, even on today, in Jesus' name. This morning, Lord, let us have understanding in the word of God. Let us have, let our eyes be opened. And let our ears also be open to hear instruction today that will keep us in the way. We thank you, Lord. We glorify your name. We honor you and we praise you this morning. Glory to God. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Well, good morning again, everyone. I'm going to get started right here. The others may join later. Today I want to talk on an important subject. Very important, especially when God brings revival, when he brings revival and begins to stir up the gifts, and when the gifts of the Spirit begin to flow, it is very important for us to have spiritual discernment. Because if we don't have spiritual discernment and we don't know how to discern spirits, we may fall into error. It is so easy for people to fall into error without spiritual discernment. When God sends rain, upon the earth, the rain that falls upon the good ground is the same rain that falls upon, the weed, So it says in Hebrews 6 and verse 7, it says, "For the earth which drinketh in the rain that comes often upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receive a blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." That means that when the rain falls, it, will bring rain, water to, the earth, and the herbs that are good will get, nourishment from that rain. So also, even the thorns, and so also even the weed. There's no way you can make rain to fall and then just separate and say, okay, you're only going to fall on the good stuff and not on the weed. The same rain that makes the good stuff to grow makes the bad stuff to grow. And so you got to constantly go in there and weed out the bad stuff, and sometimes that bad stuff can even grow quicker, than the good stuff. And they just mingle in there. And you're constantly having to weed out that stuff because just as the good stuff, your plants, your garden and the things that please you, just as they are getting rain and flourishing from the rain, so also will the weed and the unpleasant stuff be flourishing from the rain as well. What does that mean? Well, when God kicks off revival and the gifts of the Spirit begin to flow and God begins to do things again, we got to be careful. We got to use discernment, spiritual discernment, and discerning of spirits is what the room is today. Because if we're not, we'll be prone to the spirit of error. And the reason that people fall into error, is because you don't take time, to ask God for spiritual discernment. So that's going to be our topic today. We're going to be praying around that, but we're going to also share the word around that as well. And we trust that you know, God's going to give us understanding. You know, I ask you to tune in and stay tuned in. Don't be distracted. But before we get going, share the room if you haven't already done that. Share it on Clubhouse and invite people in here. And let's enjoy the blessing of the Lord together. You know, so, but I am going to get started right away. Many, many, many stories in the Bible here that we need to consider. I'll see how much of it I can get through very quickly. First of all, we find out that the Lord gives us instruction to try the spirits. That's right. So 1 John chapter 4, you know, verse 1 tells us that right away. He said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." It's amazing that this scripture is here, but people pay no attention to it at all, you know. And so, but let's deal with that subject today. Trying the spirits, what does that mean? Well, it also means test the spirit. You know, there are many things to test. You know, test the content of what they say, you know, test the content of which direction they are going, you know, test, you know, the motive, and so on and so forth. You know, there's a lot of things, and there are even some subtle things. You know, there are sometimes when something looks just right, but it isn't, when you put it up against the Word of God, you know. And then there are some that are so, you know, so like the real thing, that you just can't figure it out unless you have discerning of spirits. That's also a gift. It's one of the gifts, you know, but the spiritual discernment, everybody can learn that, you know, but the gift of discerning of spirits is a gift. You can't learn it. You know, God brings it, and it's an ability. It's an uncanny spiritual ability to discern the walking of spirits, whether it's an evil spirit or it's good spirit, whether it's evil angels or good angels. You know, but we can learn spiritual discernment. You know, that's something that we can learn by experience. It says here in Hebrews, you know, chapter 5, it talks about, you know, how we can use our, you know, senses, you know, to discern good and evil. It was talking about, let me just read it from verse 12 for content or context. For the time that ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one should teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. You know, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So this one is, you know, spiritual discernment, but it's through practice. It's through, you know, having reason of use. This is not, you know, some, you know, extraordinary gifting. This is just the people that, you know, by reason of use, their experience and so forth, common sense and things like that, you know, they figure it out. You know, I mean, it also says here that, you know, when people are not solid or have not grown to the level that they should have grown, when they should have been teachers, they are still babies. When they should have been eating strong meat, they're still drinking milk. They may not be experienced, but those who are, you know, are experienced, they know how to eat strong meat and so forth. They may be able to use their spiritual senses, which they have developed over time, to discern between good and evil. So that's just spiritual discernment through use, you know, use of the things, you know, I mean, practicing, you know, and over time, and also, you know, knowledge of the Word of God. You know, we know the Word of God and we know how to apply it and so on and so forth, you know. So, you know, that's that, but there's also, you know, the walking of the Spirit of God in us through the, discerning of spirits, which is one of the gifts described in 1 Corinthians 12. You know, So today, let's dive right into this. Like I said, it's important at a time like this, you know, to understand, you know, and how to test the spirits. One thing I want to say right away before I forget is motive is very important in what people are doing or saying and so forth. Now, on this app, which is an amazing app, I have never met or seen or known so many prophets and apostles until I got on this app. And when I first got here, close to a little under 2 years ago, every room I went, it was an apostle, it was a prophet, it was a this, it was a that. I was like, oh my goodness. I didn't even know there were this many prophets. I didn't know that there were this many apostles. You know, and then I've over time, some of the people that came in and became were prophets, then all of a sudden they became apostles. You know, one day they are prophets, one day they are an apostle. I mean, it's kind of like people just get promoted. I mean, you know, people get promoted, you know, after you've been a prophet for a while, then you get promoted to become an apostle. Is that how it is in the Word of God? You know, these are things that people just make up, you know, because we like piling up these titles to ourselves, you know. And if you are a prophet and somebody is an apostle, then you think that the apostle is higher than, so you want to be an apostle and a prophet thinks they are higher. I mean, it's just a bunch of confusion. But is that what the Word of God really says? You know, these giftings and various things that God has in the body of Christ, it's all for the work of the body of Christ. You know, the hand, the leg, the foot, the ears, the brain, even this mighty brain that is so great that we have, you know, if you take the brain out of the head and just set it on a table without it, it just looks ugly and repulsive. I can't do anything. So it needs all of the coordination of all the pieces together. You know, why am I saying this? Because, you know, people get drawn into all these things, prophet, apostle, and so forth. And, you know, there are some true prophets and there are some true apostles. There are some true pastors, you know, evangelists and so forth, you know, but there are also some that are in there for different reasons, which we don't know. But here's a good one to, you know, to follow. It's a good concept and a good, you know, parameter to use. It's in Revelation 19 and 10. You know, the angel that was showing John all these things, at one point in time, John wanted to worship him. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, Revelation 19 and 10, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. And he said, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. Now we see, even from this scripture, we see some things. We see the tendency in a man, even in John. It was the apostle John, you know, that had been with Jesus for a long time, you know, and so on when Jesus was there. And we see that even there's that tendency in his heart, you know, when there's greatness around people, you know, this guy's showing you all kinds of things. I mean, you just want to reverence them. You want to worship them, you know, and there's a tendency in the hearts of people like that. Yeah. Give honor to whom honor is due, custom to whom custom is due, you know, but, you know, there is a, you know, there is a limit to how we do that, right? I mean, you know, there is a limit to how we do that. First of all, we should give honor and glory to God. I remember even when I first came into the same clubhouse, you know, I mean, I came in here and it was like, I mean, everywhere you went, when people came in the room, I mean, when Clubhouse first started, it, you know, I think it has diminished a bit, or maybe I've stopped going to those rooms. I don't know. But, you know, and you go into the room, which was okay. But somebody will come up on stage, and for the next 3 or 4 minutes, they are giving honor to this person and honor to that and honor to this and honor to that and honor to this and honor to that, which is good. But I would just be listening in my heart and saying, well, are they going to give honor to the Lord? You know, and then, you know, most of the time they don't. They just honor all the people on the stage, honor everybody and their brother, honor everybody and their sister, you know, and so on. But no honor giving to the Lord whatsoever. Well, you know, that's not a good thing. You know, the Bible does say that we should give honor to whom honor is due. And that's really good. Give custom to whom custom is due. But the first person to whom honor is due is God. You know, so, you know, if we don't give honor, the right honor to God, and we are just consumed in honoring, I mean, you know, Jesus said, look, you know, I do not receive the honor from man, you know, but this is what people want. But here's what God said in Malachi 1 and 6. A son honoreth his father and a servant his master. And if I then be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? You know, and all of that, you know. So, look, okay to honor others and so forth, and it's good and we should do it. But what about God's honor? What about if God is our father, where is his honor then? If I be a master, the Lord said, where is the fear that the people, you know, show me the reverence, you know, is the word there, you know, and all that. And they said, look, these priests, they despise my name, you know, and they say, well, wherein have we despised your name? Well, because they offer polluted bread upon the altar, you know. They all just offer, you know, just come in here and people just say contemptible things and, you know, just say things out of their mind. So we're going to talk about some of that today, you know, and help us to see how we should discern, you know, and sometimes people get carried away. There are many reasons why people can be carried away. You know, it could just be just purely out of, you know, wow. You know, this is a big brother, this is a big apostle, this is a big prophet, or whatever. And we can get carried away that way. You know, so, but let's see what the Lord tells us to do. There are many aspects I'm going to cover, you know, but I want to talk about first, prophecy. You know, what is prophecy? Well, I talk about it because I heard a lot of prophesying, you know. And people, and then the problem with people, as I see it, the first problem that I see with people is people don't want to hear from the Lord directly themselves. That's the first problem. You know, so because they don't want to do that, then they begin to heap to themselves, they have itching ears, and they begin to heap to themselves all kinds of prophets, you know, and so on. Prophets are good if they speak the word of the Lord. You know, but, you know, in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, the Lord invited the people. He wanted the people to come to him directly. He said, look, if you will obey my voice indeed, then you will be unto me a peculiar people. And I want to make you a kingdom of priests. I mean, so they were supposed to relate directly to God. They called them into the priesthood. Now, he wasn't talking to Moses or Aaron only. He was talking to the congregation of Israel. I mean, the assemblies, the whole, you know, company. He wanted them to be priests unto him. I mean, they could hear directly. They can come to God directly. That's what he wanted. And the people say, yeah, we will do it. But they did not do it, you know, because as soon as they, you know, in the next verse, in next chapter in Exodus 20 and verses 18 and 19, when they saw the thunderings and all of these things and the glory and heard, you know, and saw the fire on Mount Sinai and everything, the Bible said the people removed afar off. They removed. You know, I mean, these people couldn't wait to get away from the Lord. they said, we don't want any part of that. You, Moses, you go hear from God and come and tell it to us. Well, that's problem number one, which is the same problem that we have till today. People do not want to hear from God directly themselves, you know, and so, you know, because they don't want to hear from God and they don't want to pay the price of hearing from God, you know, then they're going to be looking for a prophetic word or something here and there and so forth. Whereas God wants all of us, you know, to live in that prophetic, every one of us. Now it doesn't mean we're going to be prophets. Doesn't even mean all of us will have the gift of prophecy or even all these gifts, but we can all be prophetic, you know, prophetic. There was a prophecy given in the 17th century by a lady called Jean Liard. And he said in the last generation, in the last day, God will raise up the most prophetic people. Wow. You know, well, that's why we see a bunch of prophets jump up today, which is good. But we need discernment. Some of them will be good and some of them will not be so good. It will just be make believe and things like that. But, you know, they look so real. Jesus said, let them both grow together until harvest time. Because, you know, and they look just the same. So, but we need discernment. So when these people say, we don't want any part of God, Moses, go hear it from God. And then you come and tell us. My goodness. Now, that caused Moses to become a prophet. You know, God wasn't, you know, going to deal with them like that. The only person that was supposed to be a prophet at that time, you know, was supposed to be a prophet only to the unbelievers. You know, like God said to Moses, yeah, you will be like God to Pharaoh. And Aaron would be like a prophet to them, you know, but that's, it wasn't prophets, not a prophet to God's people. God wants to talk to God's people directly, you know, but if they don't want to hear it, well, okay. You know, then what will happen is one person becomes a prophet and other people become something else. And, you know, this also leads to serious danger. In Exodus chapter 32, when, you know, Moses was gone for a long time. It was only 40 days, but it seemed like forever to these people because they are not used to hearing God themselves. So Exodus 32 verse 1 says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, you know, it was only gone 40 days. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, we shall go before us. As for this Moses that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. You know, so, you know, now, why is it that just because Moses is not there, you have to go look for some gods? Well, because these people, they had an opportunity, come to me, hear directly from me, be a kingdom of priests. And they said, no, we cannot do it. We cannot hear the voice of God. When we hear the voice, we will die. You know. So now when the source for them, which is now Moses, of the word of God or the voice of God is not there, then they are still looking for. And it ends up in the golden calf. That's where it ends. You know, there is a room that I taught some months ago here on Clubhouse called, you know, while, you know, God is tarrying in coming, what's next? Is it the golden calf? You know, so something like that. You'll find it in my profile. I think it was a very, very revealing room. But I'm talking about something similar right here. These people could not wait on the Lord themselves. You know, so the person that was always waiting on the Lord for them or hearing from God to tell it to them was not around. So the next thing they're going to do is turn to something else. You know, they always turn into something. I was looking for a word here and a word there and a word there. You know, so that's a real danger. And I've seen it on this app so much. I know that even in our local church here in Phoenix, Arizona, at the beginning of this year, one of the things that I said to the people was that, look, in this year, God doesn't want you to just be looking for a word here and a word there. You need to flow in the prophetic. yourself, because my sheep hear my voice, you know, and they follow me, right? So Jesus said, we follow him, we know his voice, and we do not follow strangers. So let's read some of that in John chapter 10. I'm going to read John chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, and maybe I'll jump to verse 14 or something like that. So let me read in John chapter 10. We want to read some of these things that Jesus said himself. You know, before we get to the discernment, you know, and all that, I'm laying a background here for the reason why people even get into trouble, you know, spiritually, is because we don't have, our own senses exercised to discern good and evil. And two, we don't want to pay the price or don't think that we can hear from God ourselves. You know, so we're all looking here and there, and then, you know, those things are prone to error. John chapter 10 and verse 4 says, look, the good shepherd, he puts forth his sheep, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger, they will not follow. Well, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people are following strange voices. A stranger, they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Well, that's a real sheep. Well, unfortunately, a lot of people who call themselves believers are following strange voices. You know, any kind of voice that just stands up and say anything in the name of the Lord, you know, people just follow. And those rooms are filled with, you know, people. You know, so, I mean, it may be good if they are truly speaking the word of God. But if they're not, you know, then the people are just rushing on to, you know, their own destruction and they don't know it. You know, so, you know, this is very important. The anointing of God that we have, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. If you are a child of God, and especially when you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, 1 John 2, 27 says that, look, the anointing that you have from God will teach you all things. Jesus said the same thing. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he shall teach you all things. You know, that anointing will teach you all things. You know, and you don't need any go-between. Now, it doesn't mean that there will be no teachers in the body of Christ. You know, that's part of the role. You know, but the thing to do is this. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Back to Revelation 19 and 10. You know, when I read that scripture, I didn't quite finish it. I digressed a little bit, but I'm back to it. This is the testimony. The man said, don't worship me, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know, so anything that leads, you know, when prophecy leads people to give glory to God, when prophecy leads people to Jesus, then, you know, it's most likely from God. But when the prophecy is self-centered, you know, like it could have been self-centered, you know, if the angel, which turned out to actually be one of the olden prophets, because I am of your fellow servant, God was still sending them errands. You know, that gives you also a clue into the fact that they're not just sitting there doing nothing. He said, look, if we wanted to be self-centered, it would have received the worship, it would have received the honor, but they don't do that. Nobody in heaven does that. You know, Lucifer wanted to do that and he's already cast out. There's nobody else in heaven that does that. Even departed saints, if God sent them on an errand, like this one that we saw in Revelation 19, you know, they immediately, and angels, the real angels and so forth, they would immediately give that glory to God. They would direct their people to God. And this man is directing John, saying, no, don't do it. You know, you must worship God, because, you know, that's the real test. You know, is a real test. Is this spirit testifying about Jesus? Is it ultimately pointing to the Lord? Or is it pointing to themselves? You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and we as your servants for Jesus' sake. You know, so this is very important. Now, once, you know, I've laid this foundation because of this topic that I'm going to get into, because this is a very serious topic. And I laid these foundations this way. Now, let's begin to see some of the out-to-test prophecy and see whether it is of God or not. You know, there's one, there are many lessons in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 22 will tell you, you know, he says, look, the first thing is if somebody were to prophesy something in the name of the Lord, you know, if the thing, you know, doesn't come to pass, then you know that that's not the thing, you know, that the Lord has spoken. Why? Because if God doesn't predict, God foretells because he already knows. So God doesn't. Prediction is maybe, maybe not, you know. I mean, even science can predict. How do we get weather forecasts today? Well, it's prediction. You know, we have 100 samples, you know, it's what a computer does. I have 100 samplings, and, you know, when the conditions were like this exactly, you know, out of those 100 samples, it precipitated, you know, 50 times or 70 times. Then they will say you have a 70% chance of rain. You know, that's a prediction. Does that make the computer a false prophet if it didn't rain? No, it was just a prediction. You know, so if people give prediction and didn't come to pass, fine. I don't even waste my time with that. But when you prophesy in the name of the Lord, it better come to pass. Because here's what he says. If a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, and the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, I shall not be afraid of him. Don't even worry about it. Just move on. Now, but, you know, you have to use wisdom though, right? If you are in the house and somebody says, you know, speak in the name of the Lord and say, well, this building is going to collapse in the next 5 minutes. Well, you know, you can stay there and say, well, I'm going to see whether the building is going to collapse. But if you stay in the building collapses on top of you, then what have you learned? You know, you know, this the way you would act in such a case, you know, you have to act in the, you know, with the motion of self-preservation. Well, you run out of the building and you check it out. But if that building does not collapse, then you get rid of that prophet, you know, get rid of him, you know, so, but you don't stay there until the thing collapses on your head, you know, so there's a wisdom to that, you know, but, so that's one thing. But even if the thing comes to pass, you know, we've talked about if it doesn't come to pass, but what about even if it comes to pass? What if they prophesy something that actually comes to pass, but yet, you know, there may be an underlying spirit. There may be an underlying thing. How do you figure that out? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 13 tells you that. I mean, let's read the first three verses in Deuteronomy 13. It said, if there arise a prophet among you or a dreamer of dreams and they give you a sign or a wonder and the sign or wonder come to pass. Now, remember the first one, the one we read in Deuteronomy 18 said that if the sign doesn't come to pass, it's not from the Lord. Well, what if it comes to pass? So this one we're talking about, well, it actually came to pass. So when the thing comes to pass, whereof he spake unto you, after it came to pass, then he now tells you to do something contrary, like go after other gods, which thou hast not known. Then you will not hearken to the words of that prophet, because the Lord is proving you to see whether you love the Lord with all of your heart. Well, nobody is going to tell you these days. You know, the devil is smarter than that now. Nobody is going to tell you to go worship other gods. They're not going to say it point blank like that. It's a little leaven that leaveneth the lump. Jesus gave that parable himself. He said, look, the kingdom of God is like a little leaven which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until it's all mixed up. Leaven is never a good thing. That parable, I've taught about it here on Clubhouse, is not a good parable. That leaven is a bad thing. But the way you do it is, you know, the devil knows that if he's going to serve you poison and he brings a can to the table that says poison on it and tell you to eat out of it, of course you will not eat out of it. You know, so what is he going to do? He's going to take a little, he's going to cook the food will look good and then put a little poison inside. You know, and then because you have no discernment, you have no clue that there is poison in that food. The food looks good on the outside, but there's poison inside. So that's how it is done. You know, you don't come in, you know, this one of telling people to go worship other gods. Nobody is going to fall for that these days, you know. But there is a roundabout way of making people, turning the hearts of the people away from the Lord. You know, there are many subtle ways that the hearts of the people can still be turned away from the Lord today. Not just go and worship other God. Nobody is going to fall for that one. You know, so what you do is, you know, the devil knows this. You take a little, you know, or a lot of facts, not really truth. There's a difference between facts and truth. And I'll come to that in a minute. That devil is a liar, you know, and the father of it. And there is no truth in him. So devil cannot tell any truth, but he can tell facts. Now, facts, you can gather a lot of facts. Now, and you get all that together and mix it up with a little leaven. That's all you need. You don't need a whole bunch of leaven. Just need, you need, you know, you need something that looks, you know, 75% good or even 80% good. And just mix up a little, you know, poison in there. Something that's not so good. The next thing you know, everything is poison. You know, so this is very critical. Even if the thing comes to pass, then watch the direction in which they go. And how do you do that? Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. He said, back to the law and the testimony, or back to the word of God. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. Now, the thing they say might come to pass. But if the watch the direction in which they are going, gifts or no gifts. If it is about preaching themselves, if it's about, you know, getting acclaim for themselves, and if it doesn't ultimately point to Christ, and if it is, you know, eventually telling you to do something that's contrary to the word of God, you know, they'll start out with a prophecy that may come to pass. And that's how they draw you in. You know, the spider, how he does his web. It puts out this beautiful spider's web out there. It looks so beautiful to the insects. I mean, it's really nice and so forth. You know, when the insect gets on the outskirts of the, you know, the web, the spider doesn't do anything. It just let them keep crawling in and looking good and everything, you know, until they get to the middle, then he snaps that thing. And then when he snaps it, there is no going back. There's no escape, you know. So that's the same thing. Put out a little thing out there and so forth, you know, I look good, and then draw people in and then snap it. And when they got you right where they want, then they will exhibit their true colors. You know, start out with something, you know, and look, when people are looking, we have something in my original Yoruba language that says, look, if you're looking for any kind of thing, you will find any kind of thing, you know. So when people are looking, when people even submit themselves, remember Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 8, when he was talking to Nicodemus, he said, look, nobody can discern the life of a child of God. It's like the wind. You're blowing here or there, can't tell until you're gone. You know, but if you go submit yourself to a soothsayer, or you submit, now many of these so-called prophets are soothsayers. They're soothsayers. They just, you know, and a soothsaying spirit will tell you, you know, facts, because they know some things. But which direction will they go? Will they really point you to the Lord? If you go submit your neck under a soothsayer, you know, then of course they already have power over you. You know, but if you're walking in the spirit of God, which is like a bubble, you know, they can't discern you. You know, they can be looking, but they can't see anything. But once you go submit, right? And you know, people submit in so many ways, and then they get drawn in, and they even start to honor us, to worship all these things and so forth. You know, but there's a stern, many stern warnings, and I'll give you some examples of, you know, something that looks like good coming from a soothsayer and all that, but it wasn't really coming from the Lord. But before I do that, let me read to you another thing quickly here in Exodus. I'm going to read, Ezekiel chapter 14, and I'm going to just read quickly verse 9 of Ezekiel 14. Again, still talking about, you know, we're still talking about discernment, right? Discernment. So, but here is a stern warning that the Lord put out here. You know, the Lord, this is a scripture that everybody should learn and understand. Because he says, look, if a prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, you know, this is even the one that didn't come to pass. You know, sometimes it comes to pass and sometimes it doesn't come to pass. But if there is deception inside of it, the Lord said, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him and I will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. Well, that is serious. That is really serious. You know, so, you know, and there are stories there in the Bible. You know, I will get to them in a minute if I can go very quickly here. You know, so, you know, there was a soothsaying spirit in Acts chapter 16, right? That, you know, the girl with the spirit of divination that was following, you know, Paul and Silas everywhere they went. And she was saying, well, these are the men that bring us, you know, show us the way of salvation and so forth. Well, what she was saying, was it not true? You know, I mean, of course it was true. You know, read it in Acts chapter 16 and verse 17. You know, okay, well, let me read it from verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her master as much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. What was she not saying? What, you know, I mean, what she was saying was accurate. And she did this for many days. But Paul, after a while, being grieved in the spirit, turned and said, I command you to, you know, spirit, in the name of Jesus, I come out of her. You know, now, the gift of discerning of spirits is in operation here. This is different from even spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment can only go so far. You know, sometimes you can't even tell. You know, it looks so good. I mean, this girl was, you know, whatever she was saying looked good, you know, and so forth like that. And this is not suspicion either. Holy Ghost doesn't need that. You can do that on your own. You know, this is not witch hunting. It's none of that. You know, that's just works of the flesh. Holy Spirit, point blank, you know, after a while, he got grieved in his spirit. And the Holy Ghost Spirit revealed to him that, look, you know, there's something behind that that's not right. Okay. And he rebuked that spirit. Glory to God. And it came out of there. Well, you know, I mean, what was the motive? Who knows what the motive was? You know, and this girl, you know, maybe if Paul had not done that, after a while, you know, after they left, she would have said, hey, you know, I was with Paul and Silas and I, all these people and so forth. You know, hey, I was with them, even Luke and everybody was there, you know, say, hey, look, I was the one hanging out with them, you know, so then he would use that association to draw people in. You know, maybe there was something there, you know, that whoever knows what was in her mind, you know, because she was doing, it was a soothsayer. You know, soothsayer can sometimes reveal facts, you know, but it was, you know, it wasn't really the spirit of the Lord that was there and it wasn't the spirit of truth. So God rebuked it through Paul and got him out of there, you know. So now let's look at some stories in the Bible, you know, where, you know, remember how, you know, God said, you know, in the Bible that let every word be confirmed by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Even Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians people, they loved the gifts and they were doing all kinds of things and so forth. But Paul had to help them set things in order. And he said, look, let the prophet speak two and three and let another judge and all these things and so forth. Still going with the, you know, two, you know, every word confirmed by two or three kind of thing. But look, just before look, the word of God is not in letters, folks. If you just go by the letter of the word, you know, then you need the spirit. Jesus said, the words I speak, they are spirit and life. You need the spirit, not just the letter. Now, if you just go strictly by, you know, what you say, so if any two, you know, you need, I mean, anything confirmed by two or three, you know, then let it be established. Well, sometimes, yes, but not always. I mean, we see there's a story in 1 Kings chapter 22, right? You know, so in that story, you will see that concept of, oh, majority is right. No, majority is not always right. You know, so in this story, you know, you may have read it, and I'll show you multiple stories similar to this. You know, let's start at 1 Kings chapter 26, you know, and, chapter 22, sorry, verse 6. You know, the king of Israel gathered prophets together, you know, 400 men, and said to them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver thee into the hand. Now, these were prophets, you know, and they, 400 of them, you only needed three, you know, if three, by the mouth of two or three, let every word be established. So you only needed three, but 400 of them say exactly the same thing. I mean, that is amazing, you know, so that's confirmation beyond any shadow of doubt. You know, but yet, you know, Jehoshaphat, you know, said to Ahab, look, I mean, there's something just wasn't right. I mean, how could 400 people be saying the same thing in the name of the Lord, and you're still saying, nah, is there somebody else? Jehoshaphat didn't trust them. You know, there was something inside. I said, look, is there somebody else that we can inquire of the Lord? Is there another prophet? Are you kidding me? 400 prophets just spoke, you know. And then he said, okay, well, there is yet one man. He's called Micaiah, the son of Imlah. But I don't trust him, you know, because he never says any good thing about him. And say, oh, Jehoshaphat said, oh, no. Don't say that. Because I think Jehoshaphat may have heard of this Micaiah. I don't know. He said, yeah, bring him here. Let's hear him. You know, so they call for this Micaiah, you know, and he goes, you know, and when they, you know, call for Micaiah, you know, they said to him, look, you know, the messenger said to him, look, tell us good things, because everybody else has told good things. You know, let your king be, let your word be the same as their own, and so forth. You know, tell us these good things. You know, Micaiah said, look, as the Lord God liveth, I will say whatever he tells me. I don't care what everybody else says. You know, so before he got there, Zedekiah, who was another prophet, but one of the chief prophets, he made him horns of iron and said, thus saith the Lord, with this shall thou push the Syrians until you have consumed them. I mean, you know, and it looked good. He was even acting it out, and he was doing all kinds of things. So anyway, Micaiah came there. They asked him, okay, what say you? And Micaiah said, yeah, go up to to the battle and win. The Lord will prosper. And he knew that he was speaking with a tongue in a cheek, because the way he said it, and he knew that nothing ever good came out of this guy concerning him. So he said, look, how many times have I told you not to tell me anything other than exactly what the Lord said? I mean, don't tell me what the Lord said. He said, well, your prophet said so, so go and do it. He said, no, you tell me. So he said, look, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep, having not a shepherd. The Lord said, this one have no master, and so on. My goodness, you know. And he said, began to say, he said, look, the Lord was having a conference. He sat upon his throne and he said, who is going to go down there to persuade Ahab to fall at Ramoth Gilead? You know, and when I read this one time, the Lord showed me that, wow, even though this was a bad thing, there's also a revelation in here that when you are really believing God for something, the Lord might call a counsel and get one of those angels, hey, you know, go down there. My daughter, she's, you know, standing over there believing, and she's crying. Go down there and make sure it happens for her. You know, so, you know, that's a good side of it. But we see the bad side here. The Lord said, look, who's going to go and deceive these guys so he can go and fall and Ramoth Gilead? Wow. That is a terrible thing. And one person came, you know, one, you know, spirit came and said, I will do this. And so the Lord said, how will you do it? You know, and said, no. You know, another one said this, and he said, how will you do it? He said, no, that's not going to work. So one other spirit came forth. He said, look, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. Aha! You know, then the Lord said, yeah, you go forth and do it. You know, so, well, I don't know whether it was a good spirit or bad spirit, but he said, I will be a lying spirit. And so he went, you know, and jumped on top of all of the 400 prophets, and they were all saying the same thing, but it was a lying spirit. My goodness. And so Zedekiah came and smote this Micaiah man and smote him on the, you know, I mean, this is a big prophet, Zedekiah, the chief of the prophets, and he said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to you? I mean, I am here. Who are you to speak, you know, when I have spoken? Oh, he smote the guy and everything. And he said, look, you know, and the king said, look, put this man in prison. I don't like this Micaiah guy. Feed him with the bread of affliction until I come back. Micaiah returned and said, look, if you return at all, because the king said, until I return in peace. And Micaiah said, look, if you return at all, then the Lord has not spoken by me. So the man went, but he was somehow afraid, you know, because of what Micaiah said. So he disguised himself. And despite disguising himself, and even told, you know, Jehoshaphat, you wear your own crown, let everyone know you are king, wear your robe. But I'm going to despise myself. But I don't trust this Micaiah guy. So, but despite despising, disguising himself, anything, the word of the Lord came to pass nonetheless. Somebody shot an arrow at random and killed him. So anyway, that's the story. But you can see the 400 prophets, you know, versus one prophet. So majority is not always right, you know, and this one prophet, he stood right there, you know, so he didn't, you know, he really didn't care. Oh, there's another story in Jeremiah chapter 28. This one is Jeremiah, you know, versus Ananiah. This one we just read was Zedekiah versus Micaiah, right? And then in Jeremiah 28, there's another story similar to that, you know, where in this time around, it's two other players here, but it was the same thing, you know. Somebody prophet, you know, this other guy was a political prophet, saying that all good things will happen and so forth like that. Don't worry about it, you know. And he said, look, you know, the Lord is going to break the yoke of the king of Babylon within 2 full years, all these things and so forth. You know, say, the Lord's going to break the yoke of Babylon. And Jeremiah said, look, if the prophets before us have spoken evil against this people, and you come now and speak good, well, let the word of that prophet be fulfilled. You know, say, look, you know, if your word be fulfilled, that's great. You know, say, the prophets that have been before me and of thee of old, that's Jeremiah 28 and verse 8, have prophesied against many countries, and against kingdoms and evil and so forth. Now, the prophet which prophesies of peace when the Lord has spoken evil, when the word of that prophet shall come to pass, then let the prophet be known. So Ananiah took the yoke off of the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. He was angry. You know, break it. And said, look, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar the prophet and so forth. And within 2 full years, I will do this. I said, okay, fine. But it was not the case. You know, so, you know, look, just because somebody is prophesying good doesn't mean it's from the Lord. You know, and there this Hananiah prophet and the Zedekiah and the other 400, they were all prophesying good. Yeah, go up and prosper. Yeah, do this and so forth. Yeah, it's your season of prophecy. It's your season of blessings, this and that. You know, and then just, look, so many prophets are risen today that are prophesying good. There's nobody that gives a warning. That people should choose God as their chief joy. Everybody, your prophesy, you know, pursue this, pursue that. You're going to your season of blessings, your season of this, your season of that. Okay, good. Well, God wants to bless us, but not all of that is necessarily from the Lord. You know, so there's also, you know, Elijah versus 450 prophets of the group. Well, we know that those ones were bad anyway. So Elijah taunted them and told them to call upon the name of their gods. You know the story in 1 Kings 18. And it never happened. You know, so just because there is a large group of people against, you know, a small number, doesn't mean the large group is right. It's all I'm trying to show here. You know, then there is the case of the greater prophet, you know, and the greater, you know, I mean, these are renowned men of God. There's a story in 1 Kings chapter 13, and I love that story. And unfortunately, that story doesn't tell us the name of the young man, but, you know, just says, well, the Lord sent him to go and do something, you know, and he went and prophesied against the altar, right? He said, there came a man out of Judah, with the word of the Lord unto Bethel, you know, and during the days of Jeroboam and so forth, you know, and he cried against the altar and, you know, said, look, he gave a prophecy and he prophesied about Josiah and so on that will come, who's going to cut down all the place and so forth. He said, this is the sign, you know, this altar shall be rent and so forth. Well, the thing came to pass as the man said it, but the Lord had warned this guy, you know. But before that, you know, somebody, you know, it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which cried against the altar in Bethel, he put forth his hand from the altar saying, lay hold on him, you know, because he didn't want to hear that judgment, you know, and the hand that he put forth was dried up. This is 1 Kings 13, verse 4. And his hand could not, I mean, all of a sudden his hand was just withered. Couldn't pull it in again. And the altar was also rent and everything, just like the man of God prophesied. But the God had told him, look, when you finish your job, you know, don't stop by anywhere. Don't eat anywhere. Don't do anything. Just return the same place you came, you know. And so the king, who were not begging him, said, look, come home with me, I'll give you a reward. He said, no, God had told me not to do it. Okay, so, you know, now he was not deceived by the king because he knew the king was not a godly man. So that didn't bother him at all. He was able to quickly, you know, understand that, look, this man, you know, was telling me something different than what God told me. So that didn't bother him at all. He didn't yield his ground. Okay, but, you know, he went his way. But then in that same place, now, remember, the king tried to dissuade him from what the Lord told him, but he wouldn't because he knew the king was not a man of God. But then there was a man of God, a greater man of God, an older prophet, a big brother, you know, that came around and said to him, you know, well, come to me to my house, you know, and so forth. And he said, well, I may not come. You know, told him in verse 16, I may not come, I may not go here or there, I may not eat any bread and so forth. You know, for it was told me by the word of the Lord, don't do this and don't do that. You know, and then the man said to him, I also am a prophet, as you are. And an angel spake to me the word of the Lord. Now listen to this. This is very critical. This man, this older prophet, big brother, big prophet, known, renowned, told him, you know, that the word of the Lord came to me to bring him back and so forth. The angel spoke to me and so forth. You know, but the Bible says, but he lied unto him. My goodness. He lied. I mean, why? Why would he lie? Well, at that moment, he was operating under a lying spirit. But the young prophet was deceived. Why? Because he was coming from a big prophet. When the king was trying to tell him the same thing, come to my house, he said no. Because he could discern that one a mile away, because the guy was not even a believer. Now, when an older prophet came and told him the same thing to try to dissuade him from the Lord, he was deceived because he let his guard down. Folks, this man left his guard down. God already told him one thing. And just because, you know, somebody else, another prophet or whatever, you know, a big renowned person came around, told them something, you know, and then they just let their guard down and they followed. So when they came to the house, but the man was lying. So when they came to the house, the same man that deceived him prophesied judgment against him. While they were eating, it came to pass that the man said to him, that whereas thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in this place of which the Lord said to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into the sepulchre of thy fathers. Oh, my goodness. Remember what we read in Ezekiel chapter 14. You know, if the Lord be deceived, I mean, if a prophet be deceived, I, the Lord that deceived him, will also destroy him. You know, so, you know, and why was he deceived? Because it came from a prophet, came from a big known person. So he was deceived. And a lion ate him up. But I also noticed that this young prophet did not cry unto the Lord for mercy. You know, I've seen many people in that Bible when the Lord just pronounced judgment against them. They don't cry for mercy and they just let it be and then they are destroyed. But people who cry for mercy, God always has mercy. David repented before the Lord in the case of Uriah and Bathsheba. And even though he was judged, the son, the child died and so forth, but God restored him. You know, we see the story in the life of Jonah and the people of Nineveh. And Jonah prophesied destruction against those people. You know, 200,000 or so more of those people, you know, turned their hearts towards God, you know, and they turned their hearts towards God, and God had mercy upon them, you know. But sometimes when prophecy comes of judgment against people, they just take it like that. And they don't even cry to God for mercy. And so this young prophet in 1 Kings 13 just took it like that. He could have fallen down on his face, Lord, I am sorry, I disrespected your word, I disobeyed, and so forth, and cry his heart out before the Lord. And the Lord would have forgiven him, but he didn't. He just took it like that. And of course, the lion met him and slew him. You know, so that's another lesson. You know, when the Lord commands judgment, or because of his righteousness, don't just stand there and take it like that. You know, fall upon your face and cry for mercy. Because, you know, our God will abundantly pardon. He's a God of mercy when people call unto him. Let us return unto the Lord. Let us rent our hearts and not just our garments. For our God will have mercy and he will abundantly pardon. So there's a lot of interesting stories here. Now, with all of these things that I'm saying, does it mean we should despise prophesying? No. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 20 to 21 will tell you that. Despise not prophesying. So we don't despise prophesying. But he says, prove everything. Put everything to the test. You know, check it out. You know, that's why I put in the title of this room, you'll see I put some check marks there. That means check it out. You know, don't just take it like that as if that's, you know, whatever it is hook, line, sinker. No. You know, it could have been hook, you know, just because the man is a known prophet doesn't even mean that he's telling, you know, the word of the Lord each time. This man that deceived the young prophet was a known prophet, you know, but he lied in this situation. And that's a terrible situation. So 1 Thessalonians 5:20-21, despise not prophesying. In fact, the first previous verse says, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things. You know, we don't despise prophesying, but you have to prove it. You have to test the spirit, you know, and so forth. You know, but you hold fast to that which is good. Hallelujah. You know, so where are we with all of these things? Well, what we are saying here is this. You know, we got to have our spiritual senses keen to discern good and evil. You know, most of the time, you learn that through experience. You know, so not everything that glitters is gold, as people say. Just because something sounds good doesn't mean it's from the Lord. You know, and more so, we need to learn to hear from God ourselves. Now, we're in the New Testament now, folks. We're not in the Old Testament. We are children and we are not bastards. I don't need God to be sending me somebody to tell me something. He can speak directly to me. Who am I? I mean, that my God Father cannot speak to me. Why does he go and have to go and tell somebody? I mean, that person has two heads. What about me? You know, so you don't need, look, if God were to send anybody to tell you anything about yourself, it'll only be a confirmation. It will not be the first time that you are hearing it. It cannot be. You know, God will speak directly, unless you don't want to hear his voice. God will speak directly to you yourself. You know, so, and you know, just because somebody says something, don't worry about it. You know, here's another thing. Just because somebody says, thus saith the Lord, are we responsible for everything that somebody claims? Of course not. If somebody came and said, thus saith the Lord, that they, you know, Lord told them. Well, not that people don't say, thus saith the Lord these days. They just say, the Lord told me, God told me. Everybody says that these days. Fine. If God told you, that's fine. That's your business. It doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't concern me. You know, but if you come to the church and say, God said that the church should do this and that, then that's a problem. That's something that I would challenge to see if it is according to the word of God. If you told me that the Lord told you to go and do some crazy thing yourself in your life, who cares? That's between you and God. I'm not even going to scratch my head about that one. You know, that's up to you. You can go and do any crazy thing that God's telling you to do. That's God has told people to do crazy things in that Bible. But you cannot now come and make it a doctrine. You know, you can't make it a doctrine. God told Hosea to go and marry a harlot. You know, he told Isaiah to walk naked. He told Jeremiah, you know, these people to lie down on their sides for many, many days. You know, I mean, God told people to do crazy things. That's between them and God. But you cannot bring that now to the house of God and try to make it a doctrine and say everybody should do it. You know, now, God may tell somebody, you know, to go and, you know, pray over some bottle of water and so forth and drink it and do the, hey, good. That's no problem. That's you. Now, if you now bring that thing into the church and say, hey, God said everybody should go and drink this water and do this. No. If I'm there, I would say no. You know, no. You know, God may have told you that and that's fine. But you can't tell us that because that's not according to scripture. You know, so we don't need to be doing things that not according to scripture just because somebody said so. And there's a lot of people that just stand up today and say, God said, and then the whole congregation will just follow. There's no discernment. There's nobody to challenge it. You know, and God just said. So you go into this room, they say, you know, God said you should sow. You know, a prophet stands up and say, for your miracle, you got to sow $300. For this miracle, you got to sow $700. And they put a price on everything. And then people just follow it just because somebody said. And it could be a prophet that has said things that have come to pass before. You know, so we read that in the Bible already. They said things and it came to pass. They said some things, you know, they call out some things in their life. Maybe it's true or not. I don't know. You know, and then all of a sudden, people just follow sheepishly, you know, until they lose everything. You know, the proverb says, look, as a bird hasteneth to the snare and does not know that it's for his life, so does a fool hasten to the stocks and doesn't know that he's going to get burnt. You know, people just hasten to this thing. You know, they dangle something in front of people. It looks good. They hasten to it. You know, I went to one place. One young lady came on this app and she was asking for prayer. And she told her story that she went into one of these rooms and somehow she was cajoled. She gave everything she had. And then she began to be in want and she couldn't pay her rent. And then, you know, the other room she came to, people began to pray for her. They began to raise money. I'm like, what kind of prayer is that? Why are you praying? This person needs wisdom. You know, the prayer you should be praying is wisdom and discretion and spiritual discernment and sound judgment. That's what you need. You know, you don't need anybody telling you, cajoling you to give all your money. And then you go and give all your money. And then after that, you know, you have nothing. Pay your rent. And I don't know how people can be so foolish. You know, I mean, people just get drawn into these things. You know, I don't know why. Well, I know why, because I already said it here. Because people don't want to hear from the Lord themselves. And then the next thing you know, it becomes a golden calf. They say, well, this Moses is not there, so let's do something else. When you don't want to hear from God, it may be turned into a golden calf. You know, and it will be something else. Hear from God yourself. Glory to God. This is the antidote to all of this spirit of error that is out there. The antidote to soothsaying and all of these things is also John chapter 3, verse 8, sorry. That's the antidote. Jesus said, they cannot discern your lie. But if you go and submit to them, then they can discern. You know, there are people who I've heard a story of somebody who was pregnant, you know, and went and submitted to some soothsayer. And then, you know, that baby had problems when they were born. You know, and all these kind of things, you know, so you got to be careful, really careful here, you know, how we do these things. You know, God said also, listen to this, you know, and then some prophets actually use fear also, you know, fear. You know, I remember one time I was in a local fellowship and one so-called prophet jumped up and was trying to use fear to terrorize the people. You know, and the thing went on for a little bit until I got fed up with it. I was like, no, enough is enough. I had to stand up and say, look, enough is enough. And I put that person in their place. You know, like, look,
No, this is not the spirit of God. You know, if you can using trying to use fear to terrorize people is witchcraft, or trying to control people, or trying to make people do things, you know, the way that you want it. That's witchcraft. You can't control anybody. The Holy Spirit is the only person that can control people. You know, anybody that's trying to be controlling and trying to tell people, you know, what to do in cunning ways and get them to do stuff like that. And the stuff that they're trying to tell them to do is not to worship God. If somebody is trying to persuade you to worship God, that's great. You know, Paul was a great persuader. You know, when he was before Agrippa and Felix and all of them, he said, oh, Paul, that almost persuaded me to be a Christian. He said, yeah, you know. So if they're trying to persuade you to follow the Lord, that's a good thing. But if they're trying to cajole you to do some crazy stuff, better be very careful. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah, chapter 44, the Lord said, I am the Lord God that stretch forth the heavens by myself. Glory to God. You know, and he said, look, I formed thee in the womb. Verse 24. I make all things. I spread out the heaven above by myself, and I frustrate the tokens of liars. Glory to God. I make diviners to be mad, and I turn wise men backward and make their knowledge foolish. You know, this is the way I stand. If somebody comes and prophesies something in the name of the Lord that is contrary to my life, my health, my family, or whatever, I reject it in the name of the Lord. Because according to Numbers 23 and 23, and according to this verse that I'm reading here, you know, God frustrates the tokens of the liars. There is no divination against Israel, no enchantment against Jacob. Glory to God. But people try to use these fear tactics, put people in fear and so forth. They prophesy fear. So, you know, they even prophesy. And this fellowship that I said I was at that time, this person was even prophesying death. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? Try to prophesy fear of death on the person. He said, well, the Lord, you know, showed me this and that, you know, that this will happen and so forth. And during a time such as this and so forth. And then, you know, the death. We're trying to bring death in that other person's family and say, God, show them. And I'm waiting. I'm just waiting to see whether they're going to pray. But they didn't pray. They're just trying to show that they are some prophet. And I came out of there and rebuked that thing. I said, that's nonsense. You can't come out here and put fear in the heart of the people and so forth like that. You know, God showed you that thing. Go into your closet and pray. Pray through until you pray it through. Don't come and tell anybody it. You don't need to tell somebody that. You're not going to put fear on them. And it wasn't true anyway. It wasn't true. You know, the thing that he said, the time that he said it, it didn't happen. Anyway, because we came out there that day. I came out that day and I rebuked that spirit and I prayed against it. And I said, I don't care about whether it's a spirit or divination or anything. A peeping spirit. I called it out. It's a peeping and it's a muttering spirit. And I canceled it in Jesus' name. And it didn't come to pass. You know, so don't fall for any of this nonsense. Cancel it right away. You know, but you won't know that it's nonsense if you don't have your senses exercised. And if you don't know, God, that person was not speaking according to the word of the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11. My thoughts toward you are for peace. Look, now God may bring warning. That's okay. But, you know, if you are a child of God walking in the spirit, God already told you, and it's still your decision. You know, you don't need, there's no fear at all, you know, about anything. You know what to do and all that, you know. So, you know, there's a story in Acts 13 or so, you know, and there was this guy, you know, there was this, you know, guy, Agabus was a prophet. He came around, you know, and, he took the girdle of Paul. He saw the girdle in the room and he said, look, you know, he said, you know, this is how, you know, the Jews will bind the man that owns this girdle when he goes to Jerusalem, and, he'll be bound, and he bound himself with the girdle and everything. And Paul said, yeah, I know it, but I'm going anyway. Praise God. You know, Paul was not afraid, you know, to be, you know, just because, you know, somebody said, you know, you're going to be bound when you get to. He said, Paul, yeah, I know it already. The Lord already told me that I'm going to suffer many things for his name's sake. So what? You know, so Paul went anyway. you know, I mean, don't let anybody bring fear into your hearts and so forth like that. You know, so the things that we need to do is, first of all, we need to know the word of God. We need to know the word of God, and then we also need to, you know, have our senses exercised to discern good and evil. If we have our senses exercised like that, to discern good and evil, you know, yeah. So we will do. So let me read a scripture to us. All right. So Acts 21. Let me read verse 10. And as we tarried there many days, there came from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Right? Yeah. Thank you for posting that. Agabus. And he took Paul's girdle and he said, you know, that thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind this man with this girdle, and he shall deliver him to the hands of the Gentiles. You know, and when we heard these things, everybody, fear fell upon their heart and everybody was scared, you know, and they said, don't go. They decided to tell Paul, don't go. This thing is going to happen to you in Jerusalem because of what this man said. And this man was a great prophet. He had prophesied, you know, before of, you know, of famine and so forth that would take place in the land. And it took place. So he prophesied this thing also, you know, but Paul said, look, why are you crying to break my heart? I know that this will happen to me, but I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem. For God already told him what things he must suffer for the name of the Lord's sake. So he wasn't bound with fear. And even though this was even a good prophet, and he was saying the truth, when you get to Jerusalem, they're going to bind you, you know, and so forth. Well, it's still your choice, you know, of whether you want to go or not. You know, God doesn't, you know, put fear. It was just a caution. It wasn't to put fear in their hearts and so forth. So anything that anybody comes and tells you in the name of the Lord, you know, then look, you know, you got to be careful how you respond to it. You know, you got to be careful how you respond to it. I remember when I was a young man, you know, I was in a group where everybody was telling somebody else that the Lord told them that they're going to be their wife or their husband or this and that. Well, it was mostly the men. And I used to oppose those things in those days. And then there was a sister that was with me that I was trying to teach, you know, and people would come to her and say, well, you know, one time about 7 people came to her and said that the Lord told them that she was going to be their wife. 7 people? So, look, I tell you something. And I said, look, either they are all lying or at most one of them is correct. The 2 of them cannot be correct. You know, or they are mostly, I think, I tell you, they're probably all wrong anyway. But I said, look, it's still your choice. You know, what somebody else claims that God told them, that's their own choice. That's their own responsibility. God told them that. Did God tell you that? You know, so if you want, you seek the Lord. If God tells you, fine. If God doesn't tell you, then God didn't tell you. You know, don't let anybody tell you. I remember even my wife that we're married together today, before we got married, you know, I was, you know, this, she was not the one I was talking about just now, but, you know, I remember also, you know, she had some experience about somebody telling her or trying to tell her that the Lord told them to marry them and so forth. And she didn't like the man. And of course she didn't, you know, so, and I'm glad that she married me today, you know, so, but, you know, it's your choice. Look, we have the Spirit of God, except we are reprobate. He said, the Spirit of God is in you, except you be reprobate. Are you reprobate? You have the Spirit of God? If you have the Spirit of God, then use discernment. You know, allow the Spirit of God to walk in you. Don't fall for any of these things, which we have called out today. You know, walk in the Spirit of God. Now, does it mean that everything that anybody says in the name of the Lord is wrong? No, of course not. We've covered that also. Despise not prophesying. Somebody might say something and it may be true. You know, somebody may tell you that, you know, the Lord told them that they're going to be your wife or husband or whatever. And it may be true, but it's your choice. You got to figure it out. You got to hear from God. Glory to God. people don't know how to hear from God. And if you don't know how to hear from God, I told my children when they were growing up that, look, if you're, you know, if you're trying to get married and you don't know how to hear from God, but you know that marriage is such an important thing and you want to hear from God. And the first time you're going to hear from God is about your marriage. I said, you are going to make a mistake. So I used to tell them, you are going to make a mistake because you don't know the voice of God. You need to learn the voice of God. Samuel was a young man. He was an altar boy, but he didn't know the voice of God. You know, his mother, Hannah, gave him up to the Lord because of her promise. And so he went to the house of God under Eli, you know, and he was there, you know, sleeping in the temple, sleeping by the altar all the day. But he didn't know the voice of God. God called him in night. He didn't know it was God. He ran to Eli. He said, ah, did you call me? The man said, no, go to sleep. About three or so times, Eli finally figured out God must be calling this young man. So Eli told him, you know, so it's okay. We can be taught, you know, how to hear the voice of God. But Eli told him how to hear the voice of God, how to respond, you know. But you still have to go hear that voice yourself. You can't, you know, it's not Eli that's going to tell you, you know. So, but Eli told him, look, hey, listen, next time God calls you, or next time you hear that voice, it's got to be God. You know, so you say this and this, and then he'll speak to you. And so the man figured it out. And once he finally figured out how God was talking to him, then he started to say, oh, and then from that time on, and God said to Samuel, and God said to Samuel, and God said to Samuel, and God said to Samuel. He didn't doubt anymore. He already knew the voice of God. I told my kids, don't wait until the biggest decision in your life before you try to figure out whether it's God telling you. Oh, you're liable to make a mistake. Learn every day. You know, speak to the Holy Ghost. You know, when you're about to do, even in things that are irrelevant, even things that don't matter, you know, you want to go out, say, should I wear blue or green? Ask the Holy Ghost. When you're in the store, talk to him. Even in things that are irrelevant, that you think that it doesn't matter. If I wear green or blue, so what does it matter? Well, just ask him. You know, practice his presence. Practice these things, and it can matter. You know, yeah, it can matter. I've heard stories, even myself included, where Holy Ghost told you to wear something one day, and you say, well, it doesn't matter. But you did it anyway. You know, and then later on you go into a place and somebody said, you know, Lord showed me that you're coming and you're wearing this dress or this color. And so, you know, your little disobedience, I mean, your little obedience was a confirmation in for them for something, you know. So everything, you know, whether little or small, let's practice the presence of God. Now, I'm going to round it up here. I've said a lot today, but I'm going to round it up right here. You know, the lesson today is this. Look, we need to hear from God ourselves. And then we need to know how to respond when we hear what somebody else claims is the voice of God. You need to know how to use spiritual discernment, you know, and also, you know, I didn't get too deep into this, you know, discerning of spirits, which is a gift today, but it's also there. You know, there are many things there that we can learn today. So we've covered a lot of spectrum. And we're going to pray. You know, there's even things that are going on in the world that people don't have spiritual discernment. Like this Halloween thing that is happening here in the United States. And I hear that even countries around the world, they're picking up this thing, Halloween now. You know, today, I believe it's Halloween day here. You know, and there's some people that say they are believers or Christians. Well, maybe, I don't know what kind of Christian they are. I mean, we will celebrate these things. They allow their children to celebrate these things. And they don't even know the kind of witchcraft spirit that is behind that. You know, all these witches, they rejoice to come out at Halloween time. They just rejoice. You know, and some of these people in America, they don't even know these things. One time somebody came to my house. He was a handyman, a plumber or something like that. I don't know what he was doing. He came to repair something and told me that, oh, you know, and I was like, talk to him about the Lord and so on. I said, oh, that, yeah, he's actually going on a missionary trip with his church to someplace in Africa, you know. And I looked at him from the top of his head to the bottom of his foot. I said, you're going to Africa? I said, yeah. I said, are you prayed up? He looked at me funny. I said, this all this stuff that you guys play with here that you think is just Mickey Mouse stuff and then you play with it, that's real stuff. And you go to Africa, real voodoo. So you better know what you are doing. I scared the man out of his boots that day. I said, look, you better be prayed up. You know, you go into some of these villages to try to preach the gospel. If you are not prayed up, they will get you. I said, but if you got the power of God, they can't get you. You know, so, you know, we say that to say this, not that we should be afraid of the power of the Lord. The Lord's power is greater. There's definitely evil powers. Halloween is evil power, the powers of darkness. They come out, you know, and it's so amazing that in the United States, everybody will celebrate it. But talk about the name of Jesus. Oh, no, no, no. You can't talk about the name of Jesus. You can't talk about Jesus in schools. My wife was a teacher for many years, you know, and so forth like that. And she, you know, she would talk about Jesus. That's what she talked about when it was Halloween, you know, and because she said, oh, no, no, you can't talk about Halloween, of Jesus, but you can talk about witchcraft. And people are so happy to come out and tell you they're a witch, do all of these things, put all these witchcraft things in front of their house and so forth. You know, but you can't do that, you know, if you're a believer. I put Jesus sign in front of my house here in my neighborhood. It's been there forever. You know, they say you can't do that. It's there forever. Let somebody come and touch it. Glory to God. You know, because these people, Halloween now, my wife and I go for a walk. I see all these crazy things that people put in front of their house. Well, in front of my house, it says Jesus is Lord. And it says a few, you know, there's a couple of things we put out there that just is permanently there. You know, people see it. One time, two people have seen it, and one person saw it one day and came and knocked at the door because they saw that sign. You know, it was a sign that said something about the Lord. You know, so look, we got to use discernment. So we're going to pray against the spirit of Halloween today. We're going to pray against, you know, the spirit of falsehood, false prophesying, lying spirits, and so forth like that. We're going to pray that God will open the eyes of the people, and we're going to pray for ourselves, that we will learn to hear the word of God ourselves so that we will not be deceived. You know, that's the bottom line.